Hello, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show. It is so nice to be with each and every one of you this beautiful day. I hope everyone is having a great day and you've received your gift, whatever that may be. And if you're listening tonight, I just want to honor you for being in that space where you can be with the one you love, which may just be yourself, and honor that. It is a wonderful time to honor this wonderful month of love and honoring of ourselves. And, you know, some of us have relationships, some of us don't. And I want to talk tonight about, I will be taking callers, so I just want to tell you that. But I'm going to be talking a little bit about lots of things tonight because I'm just feeling it in my heart. I want to talk a little bit about the history of Valentine's Day because it was fascinating to me to find out about it, as well as I want to talk about soul contracts, soulmates, and some misnomers that we have about that, and also some issues, if we have time, about boundaries and how that can affect our love relationship. So, you know, I want to start out a little bit about soul contracts, because so many times on Valentine's Day, everyone says, oh, you know, I've got to have a date, or, and I've got to have somebody giving me chocolate or candy or flowers or something like that. And I, you know, I have a little 11-year-old daughter and she just loves it. Oh my gosh, what did I get for Valentine's Day? And she has her pretty little red dress on and her little glitter. And, you know, she's just such a Leo. It's just so adorable. But, you know, so many times we have a lot, and I'm getting this data, by the way, a lot from just different places on the internet, as well as some of my, in my own books. And by the way, I want to remind everyone that my Heart's Justice, Compassion in the Game of Law, that is being published by Create Space, will be out in a couple of months, I think. It's going a little slower than I anticipated. But, and then I also have my Ask Spirit Now, Feeling Safe in the World, that's coming out with the Balboa. It's a Hay House affiliate, and I'm so excited about that book because it's going to be featured at the You Can Do It seminar that Louise Hay has, you know, at the end of the year. So I'm very excited about that, and I certainly hope that as time goes on, as the show proceeds, that you will get a chance to you know, I'll do some chapters from the book, so you'll get a little taste of what the book is going to be about. So, but one of the issues that comes up on Valentine's Day is, you know, that feeling of wanting someone in our lives. But, you know, the most powerful feeling that we can have is feeling totally, absolutely safe being who we are and being with ourselves. Because when you go to in this crazy world of dating out here, and I'm telling you, I know it's crazy because I'm not a married woman at this time, and it is a crazy world. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can learn the most wonderful experiences from it. Sometimes you just feel like, you know, I think I'll just wait until they drop down from a helicopter and pop into my house. And that sometimes is, you know, the way it happens, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to. But, you know, many people are so interested in finding their soulmate this lifetime. It's that person that they see in the world, in the movies, in the magazines, and it's like the most perfect person for them. And it is the one that is going to bring them the love and everything powerful about their life. But folks, y'all, that's not quite true. Let me tell you that when you're dealing with relationships and you call them your soulmate, you've got a soul contract with that person, and that is not necessarily that perfect relationship. Those kinds of relationships can be very, very romantic, and they can be very passionate, and they can also be some of the worst relationships you've ever had in your life, because you are learning more from a karmic balancing, from a soulmate, than you are anyway. I mean, it is basically, people think that a soulmate is your ideal partner because the souls are contracted to spend time together during this lifetime. So, you know, but also soulmates can be the most challenging relationships because they are in intentionally set as a soul contract to create growth. Now, when you have growth in your life, y'all, remember that old saying, to have a gift, you have to have a challenge. So remember that if you're getting growth in something, you're knowing that it's not the most comfortable situation. And basically, a soul contract with your soul mate, if you may, just like a contract with a friend or someone who's your parents, boy, you know, you got to remember, this is just something that is going to help you learn your lessons, but it isn't the most easiest relationship. And, you know, many times, y'all, we have many soulmates in a lifetime, and we go from one relationship to another one, and people think to themselves, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not doing this right. Uh-uh, y'all. If you go to someone like myself, I do past life regressions, and, you know, I do a lot on my Ask Spirit Now website. And I just want to remind you that when you start to find out what your soul contracts are this life that you didn't complete maybe with someone last life, I did a past life regression on a friend of mine, and he was able to move forward in his relationships because he was so stuck on this one soul contract with this one person that he couldn't get over it. And now he's able to move forward with his life, and it is bringing him some, you know, a lot of comfort for that. And I think that's incredible. And but remember that soul contracts that, you know, involve your mate are usually very, very, very passionate. And what that does is it makes you feel like it is the most perfect relationship, especially at the beginning. But I want to remind you that when you go to astrologers or numerologists, you will find in your chart that you have that it's a timing issue. That, oh yeah, I can see that you would have brought in this person or this person. They may not know you know the name, but you know the name, and those people were meant to be there. But I just did a couple of readings earlier, and I want to share something, because people, whether you're male or female, you want to hang on to a relationship because it is so comfortable for you, and you don't want to have to go, oh my goodness, I got to go look for somebody else. Oh no. But what happens is you get so comfortable in that situation that you don't, and you're not honoring yourself. You're taking the best that you can get at the time. But y'all, spirit, ourselves, our higher self says, they challenge us all the time. And, you know, I get challenges all the time. Okay, Victoria, we're going to give you somebody, and we're going to see. It has nothing to do with the other person. It doesn't mean if they're good or bad. It's just, is it right for you? And they will present someone to me, and of course you want to say yes to possibilities. But, boy, as soon as you know it's not right for you, the first thing you have to do is say, uh-uh, nope, you have to honor yourself, because you, in doing that, are allowing your higher self to say, oh yeah, I know that soul contract I made with myself. I am not going to settle for what I really don't want. And one of the best examples I use, and I have used this many times before, but it's my friend Charlie. And oh my gosh, I've been to school with him and everything. But he's a vegan. And he's over in Costa Rica right now, so I know he's not listening. I wish he was. But basically, he wants a relationship that with a woman that is a vegan. And he doesn't – it's not that he doesn't mind a vegetarian, but he's certainly not going to have anybody that eats meat or fish or something like that. And what happens is, if he settles for something less than what he really wants – now listen, I'm a vegetarian. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person, because I don't fit into Charlie's category. It means for Charlie, it's not right. So what happens is, when we settle for what we really don't really want, then we are settling for less, and our soul contracts are not going to be met as quickly, maybe not even in this lifetime. So what you want to do is you want to experience, but if it doesn't feel right, stop it right then and there. Don't keep going, because you're wasting your time. And you know, when I do readings with people and they say, oh, he hasn't called for 2 months, but I love him, and I know he loves me, and I just say, you know what, move on. Because many times you'll see, as an intuitive, I will see a new man coming in. But you know what, folks? The new man can't come in if they're stuck still. It's like spirit. When spirit's trying to talk to us, We have to at least somehow or another have an ear or an eye or a third eye or something open for them. We have to be listening. Otherwise, they're going to knock us in the head with some way that we don't want to hear. And, you know, because it's not really good. So, I just wanted to share that with you because I get so many calls about that. People are like, oh my gosh, you know, I want my soulmate this life. Well, you may have already had one or two. You may even have had three or four, and you may get another one. What you really want is that perfect relationship. But until you have fulfilled your soul contracts of learning what you need to learn, you may not be able to get that perfect relationship. So I just wanted to share that. But I had some very interesting today, being Valentine's Day. I said, you know, I don't know really the history of Valentine's. So I went on the internet and I checked on a lot of different sources, and I want to read some information to you, and it won't take too long, but you know, I just felt that it was very, very interesting because the February, you know, every year, the 14th day of the month, as we celebrate, you know, our loved ones, whether they be our children or our families or whoever that we're involved with. I went out today with friends about, oh, I don't know, 10 or 12 friends. And we just, you know, all chatted and shared stories and just were friends. And it's not exactly known why the 14th of February is known as Valentine's Day, but or if the noble Valentine really had any relationships to the day, but you know, because of the timing and everything. But the modern Saint Valentine's Day celebration was supposedly derived from both ancient Christian and Roman tradition. And basically what happened, it was, there was a lot of politics going on, there was a lot of religion going on, and you know, there was, as the Christianity in Europe saw many of the pagan holidays being renamed and dedicated, they were being dedicated in the early Christian martyrs. And Lupercalia, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, and all you historians out there, just take your laugh and go on. But Lupercalia was no exception, and in like supposedly around 495, 96 AD, there was a pope that turned him, this Lupercalia, into a Christian feast day and set its observation a day earlier, which happened to be February 14th. And he proclaimed this day in honor of Saint Valentine's, who was a Roman martyr. And he lived around in the third century. And basically what happened was, you had several people that were named Valentine. And the story of St. Valentine has a couple of versions, but one of them, both versions, one of them is Protestant, one of them is Catholic. So, again, it's religious, is that both versions agree that St. Valentine's being a bishop being a bishop who held secret marriage ceremonies of soldiers in opposition to Claudius too, who had prohibited marriage. Isn't that interesting, y'all? And for young men, and he was executed by the latter. During the lifetime of Valentine and the golden era of the Roman Empire had almost come, that was when it came to an end. And basically, you've got all this fighting going on about married men, you know, you're not supposed to be a married man, because at that time, the emperor felt that married men were more emotionally attached to their families and thus would not make very good soldiers. Again, all that politics going on. And at that time, Claudius believed that marriage made the men weak. So what happened was that he put a ban on marriage, which came as a very big shock for the Romans. But they dared not voice their protest against this mighty emperor because, you know, they knew that they would get killed. And this kindly bishop named Valentine realized the injustice of this. And what he did was he secretly married people. But what happened was somewhere along the way, someone who was a friend of a lover told on him and had him arrested. Now, he went to jail, and while he was waiting his sentence in prison, Valentine was approached by a jailer. I don't know the man's name, but he said that he had some saintly abilities, and one of them granted him the power to heal people. And so this man had a blind daughter, and knowing of the miraculous powers of Valentine, even though he's in jail, he requested that Valentine restore the sight of his blind daughter. And the Catholic, now interesting, the Catholic legend has it that Valentine did this through his extreme strong faith and Well, who knows about that? But, you know, however we get our healing ability, he did it. And somehow or another, Valentine did succeed in helping this blind daughter. And so when Claudius met Valentine, he was said to have been impressed by Valentine's conviction, his ability to heal. And even though Valentine refused to agree with the emperor regarding this ban of the marriage, he said that the emperor tried to convert Valentine to the Roman gods, but was unsuccessful in his efforts. And Valentine refused to recognize Roman gods. And even though he attempted, this angered Claudius, this you know, emperor guy. And so as time went on, there were some communication between Valentine and this man that the man's daughter that he had healed, and there was a Valentine sin, and it was from your Valentine. And this phrase has lived ever after, y'all. Even on Valentine's today, people say from your Valentine. Even these precious children that don't even know what love is in the sense of, you know, true love, like marriage and stuff, they are always sending this. So it's amazing to me that, you know, he was, Valentine was martyred for refusing to renounce his religion. But he is, and Valentine actually, y'all, is supposed to have been executed on February 14th, 2070 AD. So Valentine's Day, February 14th, became a day for all lovers and Valentines because he's the saint, you know, the patron saint. And it became to be annually observed by the young Romans who offered handwritten greetings of affection. And I just think it's wonderful to know that here we are in America in 2011, February 14th, 2011, and all of this type of religious and political situations were all going on. Here we are today still honoring this patron saint Valentine on this day that he was killed, but we honor and love, and it's so beautiful to have all these experiences. And, you know, I just want to let you know, if you do have a call in and you want to share anything about your Valentine's Day, but I do want to honor those that are listening that maybe aren't dating, that don't have anybody special in their life, or maybe their loved one is away, or they're, you know, out fighting in Afghanistan or wherever they may be. You know, we have ourselves and we have our connection with spirit. And because of that, it is so powerful to know that you are not alone. I mean, we have so many gifts of love. We have gifts of love from our children, from our pets, from our friends. And of course, for those that do have someone in their lives, we have that kind of love. And I think the greatest gift that all of us can do is to honor who we are, and it doesn't matter where we are in our lives, honor where we are and honor who we are. And, you know, being that person that loves yourself, and, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're not supposed to love yourself. Well, interesting enough, when I have studied for years on this, but even before that, you know, even in the Bible, it talks about knowing thyself. Buddha talked about it. Many of the great masters have all said, know thyself. Well, if you're going to truly be a child of God, whether you're a female or male, how can you not love yourself? Because if you don't love yourself, you're not really loving the God within yourself. I think that's just the funniest statement to say, oh, you can't love yourself. I think that's just amazing. But anyway, when we get into our soul contracts and our soul mates, it brings up a subject. And I want to read some from my book, the Ask Spirit Now book. That's the name of it, actually. And it's called Being Safe in the World. And it's being published right now. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be featured, as I mentioned earlier, at the You Can Do It seminar down at Louise Hay. When she's just one of my wonderful, I just love her as an author, and I love what she's doing for authors. And Maxwell Waltz is a cosmetic surgeon who has also wrote Psychos, I believe it was, I forget the name of the book now, isn't that funny? It was self-help. He was the actual pioneer for self-help books many, many years ago. And he has a quote that says, self-image sets the boundaries of individual accomplishments. So it is very important when we're looking at boundaries, we're looking at love, how to set boundaries. And I think it's very interesting because I have another book that's called Heart's Justice, Bringing Compassion in the Game of Law. And I don't mention boundaries much in that book because by the time you're getting ready for a divorce, the boundaries are so shot to Haiti land that there probably is no point in mentioning them. And hopefully they'll read Ask Spirit now before they get the divorce. Maybe they can help them to solve it. But when people think of boundaries, you know, I don't know that people really understand. It's a form of respect. Back in the olden days, people didn't have boundaries the same way they do then. They had more respect out of fear. But in today's world, it is more respect out of boundaries. And I think that is so interesting because when we're looking at a soul contract or a soul mate, we have to look at our boundaries with that. Because when you finally start getting in, let's just say you're single right now and you want to start dating again. Boy, I tell you, you really need to know some boundaries. You really, in the dating world today, it's wild and crazy. We were talking about it at lunch today. There were about 10 of us, 10 or 12 of us, and I don't think there were but two or three that were married. The rest were single. And we were absolutely talking about, without mentioning names, because, you know, that's, again, a violation of a boundary. You don't mention somebody's name. Most of us wouldn't know anyway, but it's just an honoring of your own boundaries and of other people's boundaries. But we were all laughing about the worst date we'd ever had. And I tell you, we were laughing. It was hysterical. And it's very interesting because when you start to learn to really honor yourself, who you are, know who you are, you will find that you are not violating your own boundaries anymore. And if somebody, when you're starting to date or you're with somebody, even in your own husband, if you're in that situation or your own wife, honoring boundaries is an honoring of yourself. It's saying, I respect you, I respect myself. And I want to tell you that when you're dating someone, y'all, and this is a kind of relationship counseling, but just because they aren't the right person for you doesn't mean that you have to make them wrong. If you go out with someone and it's just not right, you don't have to go back and make them some horrible person that did these horrible things to you. You just have to say, wow, boy, let me see. Now, that was a challenging evening. Let me see what I learned from that one. More than likely, you may have learned, and I really understand this concept, is that when someone is not right for you, it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means for you, they're not the right person. So what you want to do is honor who you are. Look at what you really want out of your life, what you really want in your relationships, what makes you happy. Make sure that you get that, because if you settle for less, it's like Charlie being a vegan. You know, if Charlie settles for a meat eater, he's not going to be happy, y'all. The girl may have other qualities, but overall, they're going to end up not doing well because he really doesn't want to be with somebody that eats meat. And so if he starts going out with someone who's a meat eater, a meatitarian, I guess you could call him, then he probably, the vegan lady that may be really almost there for him, won't be able to come in because he'll be so busy with the meatitarian that he won't be able to find the veganite or whatever they call him. It's fascinating to me. Don't settle for less, y'all. Settle for your dreams, because there is somebody for everybody, and not everybody on this planet today, y'all, is expected to have their soul contract, their soul mate, or their perfect relationship. Now, getting back to that, when you have a soul mate, and this is one of the myths, and I love reading about this, and I have read so much, I don't even know where I get some of this data because I have learned it for myself as well. Is that when you have a soulmate, which you may have two this lifetime, you may have one, you may have, you know, 15, who knows? But remember that they're preparing you for your actual perfect relationship. Hopefully it'll come this life. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But, you know, there are many times that people don't have their perfect relationship every single life. If they did, what, how would they ever learn anything? How would we learn what we're supposed to learn in balancing karma? Sometimes we have to lose the love of our life to learn how to take care of ourselves. Maybe we were with the most perfect man in the whole wide world, like my friend from Florida. Oh my gosh, perfect relationship. And then he leaves her. Well, according to the past lives that we've done, I've worked with her for years on this. I shouldn't say years. I've worked with her on many incarnations with this. But, you know, he always left her because she never could learn to live on her own, happily, in freedom, and independent. Now she's got it. She can do that. And by doing that now, hopefully they can get back next lifetime and have a good life, and neither one of them has to leave each other. And so what that happens is that's called balancing of karma. And so when you're getting into these soulmates and soul contracts with these people that, you know, you're saying, oh my gosh, they're the, you know, oh, this is the most perfect relationship I've ever had. Remember, if it is a soul contract, you are going to have some balancing of karma until you get to that stage where you have that perfect relationship. Now, who's to say what life that's going to be in there for you? I'm not the one to say that. That's between you and your higher self and spirit. Because you may find that everything in your life with your love life is perfect. I've never met anybody, but, you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there. And if you're out there, please call me. I really want to talk to you. So let's just say that you have the most perfect relationship this life that you've ever had in your life. Well, I can promise you that you have balanced your karma in a wonderful way. And then there may be other issues that you're supposed to work on this life. It may not be your relationships. So, you know, if you're born a Libra, I can almost promise you that you're going to have, now, you know, again, correct me if there's a Libra out there that has the most perfect relationship. But a lot of Libras have to balance that relationship issue. You know, they think it's perfect and then they hit their 30s and all of a sudden, the most perfect relationship, and they have a hard time balancing it. So you want to really be aware of, you know, the relationships that you're in and honor each and every one of them, whether they last a day or if they last a lifetime, because a soul contract can be just for a brief moment. It can be the slightest comment that your date may say, you know, something about you that you needed to learn, and that may be the whole reason for that meeting. So when it doesn't work out, you know, it isn't like, oh my gosh, I dated a monster. Oh my God, I can't believe they said that to me. Just look at it like, well, that was the soul contract that I made with this person. Oh, thankfully, I got the message. I got the gift from it. I got the soul contract for what I was supposed to get out of it. No, gee, I did that in 48 hours or 24 hours. Oh, wow, I did that in a week. You know, hopefully you get it quickly. Otherwise, you're going to end up having to go through the whole shooting shebang again. Now, you know, it's interesting because the longer you hold on to an old relationship because you know it, it's familiar. Let me just drink a little bit of sip of water here. The longer you hold on to a relationship that is not working because it's comfortable. And now when I say comfortable, I don't mean really good comfort. I mean, it's like keeps you from going into fear. You really want to be aware of that, because when you hold on to something that doesn't feel right anymore and you get that sick kind of feeling like you're stuck, you are the less likely you will be to bring in that new relationship. And so many times, and I talk to people on the radio and different times when I'm doing readings, what will happen is that I will see them hanging on to an old relationship. It's current. I mean, it's a current relationship, but it's not working. And I will see this new man out there, a new woman, depending on the circumstance, and they will tip their hat to me, or they'll say, yes, I'm out here waiting, but I can't come in now because it isn't the right timing. These folks are still involved with somebody else. Some of them, you know, maybe going through divorce or whatever. And I'm just holding my time. I know that I'm supposed to come in, but it's not the right timing right now. And sometimes you have to go through circumstances, y'all, to get over somebody. It just doesn't, you don't just pop over a relationship that you've had for 10 years, whether you were married or not. You know, you have to deal with those emotions and learn from it and find out what was the most wonderful part about that relationship. What about yourself did you learn? So, you know, always remember that. You know, when some of us enter into a lifetime with no soul contract, to have a perfect relationship or what we call our soul contract person or our soul mate, because we're not supposed to learn those lessons this lifetime. And, you know, I'm a single person and I'm not even sure that I'm going to even have a relationship again this life. I hope I do, but if I try to force it or make it happen, it won't work. And, you know, there are things that you learn about honoring yourself. And if there's somebody that comes into your life that did not work, what I want you to do, and this is some counseling here, I want you to look at what you honor in yourself, what you really want in a relationship, and look what was not right about that relationship. Not what was not right about them, but what was that you were attracting that you really didn't want. For instance, let's say that you want a man that, you know, you can enjoy going to the movies with, that loves country music, and loves children. Because let's say you have three little monkeys running around. You love your little monkeys running around, and you really want to be a good mother, and you really want to have a good life with your children. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to pretend like you don't have kids when you go out on a date and try to fit into somebody's life that, you know, doesn't really want children, doesn't like movies, doesn't enjoy doing what you like, they don't like country music? Well, folks, you know what? It's not that you have to have everybody exactly like you, but what I'm saying is be yourself. Be yourself. If you've got kids, you like country music, if you're kind of weird in some way or something, you know, be yourself. How can you find what you really want if you're not yourself? Because what happens is you start attracting people that aren't themselves either. And then what happens is you get into these relationships, and after a year or two, you're like, huh? Who is this person? I mean, wait a minute. They liked country music back then. They liked my kids back then. Now we can't even get along. The kids are driving them crazy. Well, that might happen anyway. But the fact is, you be yourself, because then and only then will you find the right person for you that can make you happy and that you can make them happy. It's a two-way flow. And what happens is we try so hard, y'all. Here it is, Valentine's Day. We try so hard to have the right person in our lives, the right date, the right relationship. And we try so hard that we almost give ourselves away. We almost give our whole life away working on trying to be perfect for somebody else when we're not ever going to be perfect, and we certainly can't be perfect for somebody else if we're not true and honest with ourselves. And I will tell you right now, you know, when I go into a relationship, I don't want anybody that does drugs. I am not into drugs. I don't like drugs. I don't like anything illegal. I don't care if, you know, drugs are the most wonderful thing to people and they've had great opportunities with them and they love them. I don't want them. I don't want anything to do with it. So, you know, the first thing, if someone tells me they do them or I see signs of it, you can pretty much see signs. Sometimes people will tell you. But, you know, I automatically don't go further with this relationship. Why bother? You know, it's upsetting to everyone if you were to continue something like that, because honestly, I don't want anything to do with it. I've got a child. I don't like it. I don't like the way it makes you feel. And if I settled for less and went with something that didn't suit who I am and what I am and where I'm going, then all I'm doing is creating a big old mess because I'm not listening to my higher self and I'm not listening to who I am. So I just do want to remind everybody, if anybody has any comments about this, you know, call up, let me know how you really feel about this, because we tend to, and I mentioned this in my Heart's Justice, Compassion in the Game of Law, when people are going through a divorce, and I know there are people listening right now that are going through a divorce, it is so much easier, or so it seems, to find fault with the person that we're divorcing. And I'm not talking about, you know, bad abusive situations. I'm talking about people going their way. Their sole contract's over. They want to move on. They've been, especially now, y'all, with the changes and the shifts going on in our environment, in our world, people that have been married for 20, 30 years are getting divorces. They're going different ways because they can't continue in this life, in their spiritual path. Even if you don't even consider yourself spiritual, you still have a path and you still have a journey to take, whether you consider yourself religious, not religious, I don't care what you call yourself, you still have a path on the, on this journey. And so what happens is when you have a soul contract in your Akashic Records, and I do soul contract Akashic Record readings, and you can find out. And I do want to invite you to my Ask Spirit Now website, because I do a lot of readings to on soul contracts and on Akashic Records, because you can find out what your contract is with somebody or what your contract was with somebody. And it helps you to understand what in the world you're doing with them now, or why it's not working, or why you met them again. Isn't that interesting? Oh, I wonder why I met this person again. Or, you know, why this brief in, moment in time? Why did I have to meet this person in this very brief moment? It's very much, you know what I love? It's like being on an airplane and you're sitting by someone and they say something and they're not even talking to you, and it changes your whole life. That's a soul contract. And so what happens is these vows must be, I'm talking about divorces now, y'all. These vows that we make in divorce, they have to be broken in order for you to feel a release. And it happens. It has to be in your etheric, your emotional, and your mental bodies. Your spirituality has to be a feeling of a shift. And that's what all this is going on right now, is a major shift. Because, you know, if your vows are not rescinded and broken in a divorce or any kind of relationship, you will probably, y'all, and this is kind of really something you need to hear, you're probably going to meet this person in another lifetime, because you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to figure it out, because these Akashic Record contracts are going to be fulfilled. And what I love about doing past life regressions is that you find out your, and I do them very differently. I don't just tell you that you were a queen or a pauper, or, you know, whatever you were, a singer. You find out your soul contracts. That's why I love doing them. It's my specialty. And you find out your soul contract, that life. Did you, what, you know, what was it about that soul contract that you did not complete? Because you're not going to look at it, this life, if it was a perfect life for you. This, the only reasons why you look at issues this life, things get triggered in your life. And this, we learned this in Rohan, as a doctor of Rohan. When you're going through an experience this life, it is because you got something earlier in your life, you know, that got triggered from another life. So what happens is, in this life, if you don't handle it, it's going to get carried over to another life, and then you got to handle it there. And so, you know, if that's why some of us go into some kind of relationships that don't feel just like the perfect kind of place, but yet you feel compelled to experience them, and that's because you are probably looking at a soul contract from another lifetime that never got finished. And I wonder sometimes, because I have done so many divorces with domestic violence cases, and you wonder sometimes, you know, these people have such passion. They go back and forward. They're codependent. You know, they can't get away. They can't not get away. And so, you know, you just, you never know. But if you don't learn something, it's not to say that you can't learn from these experiences, but if you don't find the growth, the gift from these challenges, you end up living them again. And I feel like that's sometimes why people have a lot of marriages in a lifetime, because people say, oh, you failed. No, they didn't fail. No. You're not failing when you have many, you know, marriages or relationships. You're just learning a lot. And more than likely, and I feel this in my life, And I've had actually intuitives tell me this, that I am going to find my soul, probably more not soul contract, but my more perfect relationship, the person that will be a wonderful life partner for me this life, because I have had many soulmates this life. I've had four, actually. And so those soulmates taught me so much that I don't even want to go into a relationship right now unless it's the kind I want to go into. And I know very quickly, 1 or 2 days with somebody, and I know, more than likely, I know before then, but I probably am learning a little bit even more about even being a little quicker on the draw than that, because most of the time, you know, within the first hour, but life, you know, when in social circumstances, we can get in circumstances where we're in the middle of dinner with somebody, or we're in the movies with somebody, or we're out dancing with somebody, or we're somewhere with somebody, and, you know, you don't want to just kick the bucket in right there. So, you know, you got to at least hang out for an hour or two, but you already know. So I have a caller from California. Lisa, how are you this evening?
Hi, how are you doing? Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you. Same to you. So what's going on in your world tonight, Lisa?
Well, I've been listening to you. I'm actually single.
That's a little dog. What kind of dog is it?
Oh, they're chihuahuas. You're right. They're very small, but they think they're very big.
Oh, she's so cute. I'm having a real, I can kind of hear you, but not. It's not because of the dog, but the sound's a little muffled. Talk, can you
see?
Yeah, back away from the phone a little bit and see what happens, see if I can hear you a little better.
Okay. Is this better?
Okay. Yeah, that's much better. Thank you very much. Yes. So you said you were you were single. I heard that part, and that's about all I heard.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you see a mate coming soon.
Okay. I will do a little spread here. Are you dating anybody right now, Lisa? Because I don't feel that.
No.
I feel,
no.
Yeah, what I see a space between you and I will tell you this. I don't know your age, and I don't need you. Well, I am going to get your age in a minute. Just not your age, but just your date and your month and birthday. There is a man that is it's very interesting because I see you looking at him. He's from the right, which means that he's coming in, which means you haven't met him yet. That's why I was curious if you knew somebody right now, because I don't think you've met him. And he's not. He's so close to you. Lisa, I'm telling you, it's not too far away. It feels like almost months, like month or two. And you, it's very close. Usually when I see a relationship coming in for somebody, it's from a distance, and they're waving in, and they're a long way away, or they're right at the door or something. But this guy's just right there. There's a little space between you, but not much. Now, that space I'm feeling, and I'm going to do when's your birthday?
It's actually 228. So it's
220.
Coming up.
Oh, it's coming up. That's very good because that means that you've got, let's see, two and a, you've got a three and a four and it's a seven. Okay, so you've got a lot, you've got probably that's when I feel a change coming in, because usually when you have a birthday like that, that's a very, you know, a lot of times right before your birthday, things feel a little stuck sometimes. But you are coming out of loving a year of basically a year of getting to know yourself, combining both sides of you, really connecting with yourself. If you've noticed that this year has been that time for you to really know who you are and connect with loving yourself?
I feel like it's been like the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, the year before would be a year, now this we're going back 2 years now, but would have been a year of life mastery for you, really, really getting through the tests of life and really getting through being a sage and mastering your test. Now, you get through that, and that feels like that was about a year and a half to 2 years, almost 2 years ago. Then this past year, which you're about to end, has been a very powerful, I mean, Lisa, you're very strong. And I just want to share something. And this man that I'm seeing coming in, He's there. He's very, oh my gosh, he is. Boy, he's got, I'm not going to call it salt and pepper hair. I'm going to call it salt hair. the pepper is almost gone out of it. I think the pepper part of it's the dark hair. He almost looks silver haired. That's the, I'm not seeing blonde. I'm not seeing blonde now. It feels silver. He feels so dignified. He feels so wise. He feels so elegant. But what I'm feeling about that is not fake. It's not that fake elegance, you know, that shiny elegance. Do you understand the difference?
Oh, yeah.
He feels
someone
so
genuine.
Uh-huh. What did you say?
Someone that's genuine.
Yes, genuine. Yes. He feels so connected in your heart that you are going to look back over the past 2 years, Lisa, and you're going to say, "Ah, it was worth it. I'm glad I went through what I had to go through." Because you can't attract somebody who's genuine, who's wise, who is real, and who has a heart if you don't have that, right?
Yeah.
The law of attraction. Now let me just see what I'm seeing him so strongly. I feel like he's coming to you. The movement comes from him. Yeah, I feel he's coming to you. Now, why do I get this? All right. I get party. When I say party, I don't mean hoopla party. I mean a get together. I mean a time where you're meeting friends. Somehow or another, you're meeting him through somebody that you already know. And it's like a connection. And I use the word party very loosely, Lisa, because it's not like a drinking party where you're out and he's, you know, but there's some connection here because he's coming to you. Now, do you socialize much with people? Do you get out with, I mean,
on occasion, but I don't really go out that much.
Mm-hmm.
Not a party goer.
Yeah, but
this is whenever someone's having a birthday, I'll go to that.
Yeah. But this isn't, that's why I said this is not like a hoopla party. This is like a get-together. There's some bringing together of people, and that's why I use the party, because I don't feel this person is a party person either. I feel like he is a very, he gives me a sense of being a rather quiet person. Y'all are going to, I don't know why, I see walks on the beach, I see beautiful. I see y'all spending your later years together. I don't even know. I don't even want to know how old you are, but I see you spending your later years together. But I'm going to tell you, he's coming in, and I'm Spirit's not really giving me specifics on how he's coming in, except that it's coming in through someone that you know. And I feel like it's some sort of get-together. It could be so, I mean, I sense he's a bit older. I mean, the only reason why I say that, Lisa, is that I sense that he's a little older than you. But he has silver hair, which gives me the feeling that he's older. Now, it doesn't mean that he's old. It just means that he is wise. It can be several things. When you see someone with silver hair, it can mean that they're older, but it can also mean, I love that little dog. Sounds like a little Yorkie. But it also can be someone who is just very, very wise and very, and they can be premature gray. So, you know, I don't really know what that signifies, but I want you to be aware of that. So.
Because I don't really want an older man. I haven't had kids yet, and I'm really weary about dating someone that's too old.
Yeah, but again, that doesn't mean...
Spirit has in mind for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I do feel around this man. I do feel two children around him. I've been feeling it the whole time he was with me. I don't know what that is. Now, remember the guy that won American Idol? He had gray hair, too, so silver hair.
Oh,
you remember him?
Yes,
Taylor Hicks, for God's sakes, he was 26 years old. So don't let that fool you. But this man,
okay.
You know, I just see this silver-haired man, which can be very wise, premature gray. He can be appear to be very old in years in the sense of his wisdom. But I'm going to tell you something, Lisa. He's got two kids. This man, I feel, has two kids around him.
Oh, yeah, he has kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm sensing. I feel, well, that's interesting. I feel a boy and a girl around him because I see this little girl around him in the front on his right side, and I see a boy on the left side. So I don't know what that represents, but that's what I'm seeing for him. And I don't know who's going to introduce you to this man, but I feel that you need to open your heart to it and just don't even expect it. Just know that if it's when the timing is right, it'll be. I'm just seeing if I pick up a time on this. I don't want you to hold that to me, but I will tell you this. He's right in front of you. That's all I'm going to tell you, Lisa. He's right in front of you.
Okay.
Now, there is a space there. So that space lets me know it's a timing issue. It's not quite here. And there's also maybe some space that he is in need of. You've got to remember, when you're getting an intuitive reading like this, you have two people involved here. You've got you, and you've got him. So, you know, it may be a timing situation where he's having to go through something, whether it be an old relationship or divorce or just something in his life. I don't know, but there's some little space here. Allow that to occur. Honor that space. Know that it's going to happen. And you be prepared to just be yourself. Because, Lisa, you are incredible. Now, you have many gifts, so many qualities about you that I want you to focus on. And I want you to shine in your own element. You're a Pisces, for heaven's sake. You're like me. I'm a Pisces as well. And yeah, I'm a March 15th Pisces. You have so many beautiful qualities about you. You're very sensitive, but remember the biggest quality that you have is your intuition. Always honor, always trust it. And go with that. But there is a man out there, and don't settle for less than this guy. I'm telling you. Don't just go get somebody. So many people feel like they have to have somebody in their life, and it just kills their life. Because then the right person, you know, the soul contract. I don't know if you've been listening for the whole show, but you know, whether he's your perfect relationship or your soul contract, we don't really have enough time to get into that. But I will tell you this. He's here for a reason. And this guy's coming in. Oh, my gosh. I don't know why. I don't want to even tell you the name I'm picking up. But I am going to tell you. His name, I either I have to because it's so strong. Okay, let me just give you. The name I hear is Joe. Now, that can mean his father's Joe. It can mean his name is Joe. It can mean his kid's name. But there's some connection this man has to being a Joe. Remember that name, because Joe can just shot right out in my face. Joseph, just remember that name. Now, don't be surprised if you meet somebody named James or something with a J, or even if his name isn't Joe. Somehow or another, you're going to find a connection with the name Joe. He'll have some sort of connection somewhere along the way. So just remember that. It was too strong. It was too strong.
I will.
But listen, thank you so much for calling in, and you have a beautiful day.
Yeah,
and tell me what's your little doggie's name?
Oh, one's Marie and one's Louise.
Oh, you got two of them. Aren't they the most precious? You know, what a gift to have. Their dogs are such a blessing. They are such a blessing.
I know. I'm very grateful.
Wonderful blessing. Well, I have loved talking to you, Lisa, and
yes,
I will
thank you so much.
Yeah, look forward to hearing about this down the road, okay?
Yeah, so, I'll let you know what happens.
Yeah, and happy birthday to you this month, too.
Oh,
have
thank
a happy,
you, thank
happy
you.
Birthday. Yeah, that is great. Well, you have a good night. Happy
you
Valentine's
too. Thank
Day.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to remind everyone that, you know, it's very interesting from talking with Lisa. When we go to have a relationship, and I can see it so clearly, with her. There is a man there for her. If she settles for less or goes with, and she'll know, because Pisces are very, well, we're all intuitive. Let me just say that. We're all intuitive. But Pisces tend to have a very, they're probably one of the most psychic signs of the zodiac. And always just trust what you know, y'all. If you know that something is right for you, go with it. But have the boundaries, as I was mentioning, I was going to talk about a little bit about boundaries. We don't have a lot of time left, but just keep your own boundaries in. Keep your own honoring of who you are, respect for yourself, because only then will you bring in the kind of person that you're looking for. If you settle for what isn't you, you're going to find someone who isn't themselves either. And then you're getting into this big mole. Oh, it's just a mess. So, you know, don't go there. Just trust. Love being with yourself. I learned that from Debbie Ford many years ago. She no relationship, although she may be to me, I don't know. But, you know, she said if you can't be in love with yourself and have fun being by yourself, how do you expect anybody else to? So remember that this beautiful, beautiful Valentine's Day. I want to invite you to come to the Ask Spirit Now website. That's AskSpiritNow.com. I do wonderful, I have so much fun doing readings with people. I do them on Skype. I do them long distance. I do healings. And I also help you with spirit detachment. So if you got some issues there, I've had some calls lately on it and I never thought much about it, but I do it. And I can help you release energies from things that are in your home or from yourself. So be aware that thanks to Skype and to phones here, we can do just about anything long distance. So always remember that. I want to wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving. I've been you know what? I did it again. I've been calling Valentine's Day Happy Thanksgiving because I feel so blessed today. But anyway, happy Valentine's Day. Come back and visit the Ask Spirit Now show next Monday, 9 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time and 6 o'clock Pacific. Again, have a beautiful, beautiful week. Good night.